This podcast will review some of the most recent research regarding the utility of functional capacity evaluations and predicting future functionality and return to work options, as well as a brief history of the functional capacity evaluation itself, including reliability and validity issues, as well as a brief investigation into the use of FCEs in determining employability and wage earning capacity. It is not feasibly possible to review and present evidence on all the empirical research that has been conducted regarding functional capacity evaluations and their predictive value. Again, for purposes of this discussion, it is our attempt to review the most recent and applicable studies that have addressed the prognostic value of functional capacity evaluations with patients having various medical complaints or occupational injuries, as well as how these tests predict future ability to perform work. These studies have been compiled to address various types of disorders, including upper extremity, chronic low back pain, and musculoskeletal dysfunction, some of the most common occupational injuries and assessed disabilities in workers' compensation-related fields. We also take some time to review a variety of expert opinions and their approach to addressing the functional capacity evaluation. So we begin by reviewing Gibson and Strong's 2002 publication in the ISO Press. The researchers addressed the functional capacity evaluation as a widely used tool in the work rehabilitation process despite limited examination of the soundness of its measurement properties. While this particular study outlines new approaches to FCEs and their attempt to improve its content validity and accuracy based on expert review, these authors attempted to develop a new approach to the functional capacity evaluation by reviewing the five expert occupational therapists that completed questionnaires related to content validity, technical adequacy, safety reliability of validity, practicality, and the utility of the adjusted method in this particular study termed the Gibson approach to the functional capacity evaluation. While the new approach to the functional capacity evaluation was found to be positive, some of the most pertinent issues identified during the expert review were related to the interpretation and extrapolation of the FCE results to a return-to-work environment. More specifically, interpretation of the functional capacity evaluation is one of the foundations of its use, and in that, it's purported to provide an objective guideline as to how an individual would be capable of functioning within the workplace in a safe and secure manner. Interpretation about whether and how well the results of the functional capacity evaluation can be extrapolated to performance in the workplace is fundamentally an issue of validity and, more specifically, predictive validity as outlined by these authors. The authors also note that there has been little or no follow-up studies on the relationship between the functional capacity evaluation and return to work. One of the limitations in utilizing the functional capacity evaluation is that they rely upon antiquated definitions of work under the Dictionary of Occupational Titles, which has not been adequately updated since 1991. In fact, the authors note that performance measures that were only predictive to return to work under the Dictionary of Occupational Titles methodology was stooping, climbing, feeling shapes, handling, and holding. Interestingly, the results also found that pain level at discharge of physical therapy or occupational therapy and workers' compensation status were the strongest predictors of employment status and DOT physical work levels. When addressing the predictive validity of functional capacity evaluations, this requires that occupational therapists or test administrators be able to provide valid and reliable recommendations based on the individual's performance during the evaluation process. These authors note that the predictive validity of such interpretations need to be established, and given the lack of follow-up studies regarding participants after they've completed the evaluations or have they've entered the workforce has not been conducted. These authors also reiterate concerns regarding the interpretation issue based on the fact that methods have not been developed on how occupational therapists who review the outcomes of the FCE reach interpretive recommendations. In fact, Gibson and Strong identified that methods advocated by existing approaches without evidence of their validity provide little guidance for therapists, and various other researchers have noted in this study identified similar interpretation problems that can arise with work-related assignments and had noted deficiencies in extrapolating performance to the workplace as identified in the functional capacity evaluation. Some of these authors question the accuracy of using generic formulas or protocols used to make extrapolations to the workplace, particularly those from manual handling demands as identified in the FCE. Even authors who have found some support for the use of these formulas have recommended caution in using them and recommended taking conservative approaches in making such estimations. It appears that some of the most significant concerns come or arise from the fact that the FCE are only performed in brief periods, just 2 or 4 hours, rather than throughout the work week. Listeners who are interested in reviewing this study to become more familiar with the additional issues related to the FCE and interpretation methods proposed by Gibson will also find information regarding cognitive influences on performance, practicality and utility issues, and issues of flexibility versus reliability. The overall outcome was the expert occupational therapist survey did agree with Gibson's approach to improving on the interpretation and extrapolation of the functional capacity results, making return to work and rehabilitation recommendations, and further research and development to these approaches were also supported. Some of the most useful publications and research regarding the practical aspects of the FCE are supported by Pransky and Dempsey. In the Journal of Occupational Rehabilitation in 2004, these authors provided substantial information regarding the current scope and use of the FCE, as well as the theoretical base of the FCE in practice. The authors also reviewed various validity concerns specifically related to the relationship between the FCE results and the return-to-work outcome. Many of the stakeholders in workers' compensation, including physicians, employers, insurers, and rehabilitation counselors, rely upon FCEs to provide answers involving a variety of situations, one of which is most frequently related to the performance of physical work. It is estimated that over 500,000 formal evaluations of impairment and ability to work are conducted each year within the United States. Many of these are functional capacity evaluations carried out by occupational therapists. Interestingly, one of the earliest applications of functional capacity evaluations was in pre-placement activities, where occupational therapists and physicians were attempting to identify individuals that are at an increased risk of injury in highly physically demanding jobs. According to Pransky and Dempsey, this was carried out because such diagnostic procedures such as x-rays failed to provide useful information about future risk of injury. Now we see a migration to utilizing these evaluation tools to post-injury populations where they are being designed to determine work capacity in relation to a specific job or class of jobs, or used to predict future physical capacity within the workplace. Possible implications for utilizing an evaluative tool for different purposes and with different populations could potentially impact the validity and reliability of the perceived results. For example, the predictive nature of results regarding an individual who has no documented or perceived limitations or abilities are going to be drastically different than an individual who has sustained an injury and has pathological changes that warrant physical restrictions in order to perform work safely or reduce the ability of causing further harm to the body. Pransky and Dempsey outlined that the fundamental assumption underlined in the FCE is to match job replace demands to capabilities or limitations of the worker. The actual evaluation of the functional capacity relative to specific job demands is straightforward. However, as pointed out, the actual evaluation of the functional capacity is technically a challenging process. The authors basically can see that it is impossible to imply scientific certainty and interpretation because of the dynamics of the workplace and the varying types of job demands. There are a variety of changing demands that also take place from day to day, week to week within the labor market. These types of demands cannot be replicated in any significant way within the clinical or evaluative context. Dussek, in 1993, compared functional capacity evaluation results utilizing the standard testing protocol and then followed return-to-work outcomes of the functional rehabilitation program participants. He found that functional capacity evaluations appeared to be less accurate than job simulation and consistently underestimated actual ability to do the job, unless the job only required mundane, repetitive, simple motions that were similar to those encountered in the functional capacity protocol. Pransky noted that validity problems are present because of poor characterization of job demands and inaccurate measurement of workers' actual performance capability in relation to those demands. Overall, Pransky and Dempsey conceded that there are several scientific and practical limitations associated with FCEs, and that most FCEs do not achieve predictive standards of performance. These authors additionally note that accurate measures of voluntary self-limitation are also not available, and until further research develops a valid, reliable, and efficient measures that correlate well with safe and sustained return to work, FCEs will not be very helpful for practicing clinicians involved in making return-to-work decisions. A study carried out by Lechner and colleagues in 2008 investigated the predictive validity of the functional capacity evaluation, more specifically, an evaluation termed the physical work performance evaluation, and examined 30 workers' compensation patients with musculoskeletal dysfunction that participated in an industrial rehabilitation program. Of interest, the authors also noted in their study that the first study examining the validity of the functional capacity evaluation was published by Smith and colleagues in 1983, and noted that although an 86% correct prediction rate was noted, only 42% of those surveyed returned their questionnaires, along with a variety of similar limitations regarding generalizability of the results and unaccounted variance. Matheson and colleagues examined relationships between lifting ability as measured by the functional capacity evaluation and return to work among 650 patients. This study, which was published in 2002 in the Physical Therapy Journal, utilized a method to predict outcomes, such as logistic regression, and indicated that gender, time off of work, and maximum lifting ability could correctly classify about 80% of patients who returned to work and 56.6% of those who did not return. The authors noted that time off work and gender were found to be stronger predictors of return to work than any of the functional capacity evaluation test results, implying substantial confounding effects within the model. This logistic regression model also noted that a person who was off work longer was less likely to return to work, and men were less likely to return to work than women. The authors noted that there was a substantial agreement between the outcomes of the physical work performance evaluation recommendations and actual return to work. They also suggested that this measure is a valid predictor of return-to-work abilities in workers' compensation patients with musculoskeletal dysfunction for up to 6 months. The authors do note, however, the limitation I previously addressed that the argument could be made the predictive validity of the physical work performance evaluation might be different if the test were not provided as part of an industrial rehabilitation program, and even though the authors noted that clinicians administering the tests made return-to-work recommendations based solely on the results at final discharge, it is clear that 4 or 5 weeks of involvement in an occupational therapy or rehabilitation program prior to the first test being administered would yield much more representative results than an individual who had not participated in such a program and was administered the test to reach predictive conclusions. Gross and Vadier published an article in the Journal of Occupational Rehabilitation in 2005 addressing the functional capacity evaluation performance not predicting sustained return to work in claimants with chronic back pain. These authors extracted data from clinical and administrative databases within the Alberta Workers' Compensation System and, following a data analysis, followed up by telephone with all subjects identified 1 year post undergoing a functional capacity evaluation. The original cohort was 130 persons with a mean age of 42 who had undergone a functional capacity evaluation related to having chronic back pain, although only 54 of the 130 were able to be reached by telephone 1 year later. The authors noted that previous findings, including higher weight on floor-to-waist lifting and lower number of failed FCE tasks, were mildly associated with faster recovery, and non-significant associations were observed between both FCE indicators and future recurrence. The authors concluded that, furthermore, the hypothesis that individuals who demonstrate functional ability at or exceeding job demand levels can return to sustainable work with low risk of future recurrence was not supported, and that the physical match between functional abilities and job requirements were the result of low risk of future problems appears to be somewhat artificial and overly simplistic. As is true with any study in human behavior, predicting sustained return to work in claimants with chronic back pain is difficult, and a variety of limitations are associated with such studies, including low response rate and confounding variability. Overall, the functional capacity evaluation continues to be a largely popular and applied tool in assessing an individual's current physical capabilities based on a variety of standardized and unstandardized medical and physical tests. The research reviewed has identified a variety of applications in which functional capacity evaluations or physical work performance evaluations have been administered, including pre- and post-formal rehabilitation programs, at the recommendation of examiners and treating physicians, and also arbitrarily to assess an individual's physical capabilities following various medical procedures, surgeries, and the like. The studies reviewed have shown that functional capacity evaluations administered outside of any specific rehabilitation program have much less predictive value in assessing return-to-work outcomes. Many of the studies did not address the internal validity and reliability of these tests and focused more on the external validity and predictive value. While many functional capacity evaluations have built-in internal validity indicators, many still do not and are based solely on practitioner experience and opinion, implying a variety of limitations in making return-to-work predictions and recommendations. Overall, it does not appear that the functional capacity evaluations to date yield any statistically significant findings that would lead us to believe that they are useful or practical for predicting return-to-work outcomes, even when a physical match has been identified between the functional abilities as demonstrated and the job requirements as elicited from a job analysis. For additional information regarding this podcast or any other of our previous podcasts, please feel free to email us at anay@hfarehab.com or contact us directly at 517-622-4878. Access to this podcast or any of our previous podcasts can be located on our website free of charge at www.hfarehab.com within the educational podcast section.